We'll read from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 2. It is a somewhat familiar passage of scripture, maybe one that we don't think about often, but nonetheless, it's a verse that will help us, maybe even answer some questions perhaps we might have about certain situations. The Bible says, in verse, we'll read verse number 1 into, the Bible says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Here's our text. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." But notice, "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Let me read that again. "For unto us was the gospel preached as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I want to talk on this little thought today. Are we missing the main ingredient? Are we missing the main ingredient? Father, I pray today for help. I pray God should help me to preach the word. I pray God that you would touch my heart, clear my mind, fill with the Holy Spirit. I pray God that you should help me to say what needs to be said, nothing more, nothing less. I pray God should take your word and let it become alive to us. I pray God that we not only hear this precious word, but I pray God we'd also apply this word and yes, share this word. And for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, there be anyone among us today who is not saved, blood-bought, and born again. I pray, Father, that this will be the day, yes, sir, that this will be the day that they receive Jesus as their Lord, Savior, and King. And for that, God, we'll praise you. But I pray, God, for those who are already saved, they know Christ as their Savior, but yet, God, their mind is bogged down by the pressures of life. They're being beat up in their thoughts. Their heart has been broken. They've been wounded some way on the inside. But I pray, God, you come by this morning and do some reconstruction. I pray, God, you do some renewal. I pray, God, you do inside of us what needs to be done. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. And I pray, God, when we leave today, we'll leave encouraged because your spirit has spoke to us through your word. And with that, God, we'll thank you. And then, God, if there's anything else that I'm leaving out, and I'm sure I have, my mind's weak and feeble. So I pray God should meet that need as well. For it's in your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, no sir, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Are we missing, thank you, the main ingredient? Anything that you make, there are ingredients that are placed together to cause the results to take place that you desire. If you're making a dessert, if you're making any type of we call those little things casseroles and things of that nature, you've got to have the right ingredients. If you don't have the right ingredients, then it's not going to turn out like you and I would like it to. That word ingredient means something that enters as an element into a mixture. Is something that's added into an element of the mixture is inside of this that makes it turn out the way you and I would desire for it to turn out. Each of us have heard the word that are here today. You've heard the preaching of the word of God. You perhaps have read the word of God. You've read certain scriptures and things of that nature. But then sometimes after we have read and after we've heard, we then wonder why is it not working in our life? Why does it seem like, I know what it says in Philippians 4, verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I know that word. I know the Bible says in Isaiah 26, 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. I know Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But then why am I worrying? Why am I stressing? Why does it seem like nothing's happening? It may be because you and I are missing the main ingredient. There's a main ingredient that must be applied to God's word. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The first thing we see, my friends, is that many will hear the word preached. The writer here, who I believe to be Paul, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "For unto us was the gospel preached." The gospel is the announcement of the good news. He says, this gospel, this good news was preached unto us as well as unto who? Them. The folks he's about to mention in a few moments. They heard the same word. They heard the same gospel that we heard. We all heard it. A lot of times in church, we'll all hear the message. Some folks, they'll leave you going, "Man, I praise the Lord. Glory to God." Some folks, they'll leave like, "No, I'm all beat up." Wait a minute. Same message, same word, but what's up? And a lot of times, my dear friends, we'll hear the same message, we'll read the same word, but it seems like it's working for somebody and it's not working for somebody else. He says, "Here, my friends, we all heard this gospel." Folks will hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they'll have folks walk the aisle and trust Jesus as their Savior. In that same service, same group, will be folks who will walk out the door still lost. Heard the same gospel. Heard the same good news that Jesus died upon the cross for their sins, made a way possible they can have eternal life through him and him alone. Some receive it, and then some don't. They walk away. Let me give you an example what the Bible says about receiving this word. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, he says in verse number 13 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, he says, "For this cause," watch it, "also thank we God without ceasing." And he tells them why. "Because when ye," talking to these believers here, "when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, ye" what? "Received it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth," watch it, "the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you," here's a key word, "that believe." He says, you heard the word, you received this word, because you looked at it not as our word, but it was the word of God. And he says, you received it, you received it. And he says, you know what? It's working also in you guys powerfully that believe. My dear friends, we must not only receive the word, but also believe the word. For the work, do you believe it? Are you applying it? Let me give you an example on that same thought. Look at Acts 17. Look at Acts 17 and verse number 2. Acts 17 and verse number 2. Here you have the Apostle Paul, and he's going to speak to a bunch of folks here, and he's going to pour in his heart. Look at Acts 17 and drop down to verse number 2. Watch what it says here. Acts 17 verse 2. The Bible says, "And Paul, as his manner was," this is what he did on a regular basis, "went in unto them," it's Acts 17, verse 2, "and on three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures." So at least about 3 weeks. "Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ." He is the Messiah. And watch what the Bible says. "And some of them," what? "Believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women," oh, not a few, "but the Jews which believed not." They all heard the same message, But the ones who did not believe, the Bible says, moved with what? Envy. Took unto them certain lewd fellows of a bizarre sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they couldn't find Paul and them, the Bible said they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, what did they say? Oh, my soul, these that have turned the world upside down. That tell you how powerful the gospel is. Are come. Oh, my goodness. He said, they've come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king. Who is he? One Jesus. And the Bible says, and they trouble the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. That word security means an amount, some money. Give us some money, we'll let you go. But what's going on here? Some people heard and was excited. They believed. But then some other folks heard and they got ticked off. Jealousy and envy, and they cause everybody else to get all stirred up. It's amazing how you and I can share the gospel with a group of people, and some of them will receive it, and some will even get mad and angry, and then they'll cause everybody else to get all stirred up. Same word, same gospel, same message, but for somebody it didn't work, not because of the word nor the message, but because there's a main ingredient that was not applied to the word to work in that person's life. The Bible says there were some that believed, but then verse number four says verse number five says, but the Jews which believed not, those who did not believe. Listen, my dear friends, everybody's going to hear the word, but everybody's not going to respond the same way to that word. But not only that, secondly, some will not profit from what they've heard. Go back over to Hebrews chapter number 4. The Bible says this in verse 2, in Hebrews 4 verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as unto them. Watch what he says. But the word preached did not profit them. The word profit here means benefit, to be useful, to assist. He says here, listen, they heard the word, but it didn't profit them. It didn't profit them. It didn't benefit them. It was not useful for them. Wait a minute. I thought the word works. It does. But you've got to do something with that word. You've got to add an important and main ingredient to that word. Look what the Bible says in Acts 19 and verse number 8. Look at Acts 19 and verse number 8. Look what the Bible says here. So what are you trying to tell me, preacher? For one thing, don't get so discouraged when you do share the word with someone and they don't respond like you would like for them to respond. You want them to receive the word. You want them to apply the word. You want them to trust Christ as their Savior. Or if they're already saved, you want them to hear the word that you're giving to them and then apply it to their life. They may not apply it and say, well, maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe I didn't get all the words like I need to get them constructed together. No. See, my friends, our job is to take the word and to spread it, to throw out the seed. But my dear friends, it's up to that person to receive that word as the Spirit of God begins to water that word. But what are they going to do with the word that they've heard? Look what Paul does over here in Acts 19 and verse 8. The Bible says, and he, talking about Paul, went into the synagogue, the Bible says, and spake, I like this, boldly. That means with confidence in spirit and demeanor. The Bible says he spake boldly for the space, watch this, y'all, 3 months, not 30 minutes. For 3 months, the Bible says, that he spoke boldly, disputing or discussing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But watch this. But when divers were hardened, some were hardened, stubborn, and believe not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. The Bible says he did something. He says, please, please, please. No. The Bible says he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. The Bible says he stayed there for 3 months, sharing the word. But then the Bible says, even after 3 months, there were some who were hardened, stubborn. That's what the word means, stubborn. They didn't want to take it in. They refused. Now, don't raise your hand, but have you met somebody that was stubborn? It might have been us. Somebody trying to share the word of God with us. And they say, well, this is what it says right here. And he said, you know what? I don't care what it says. All I know is this is what I'm about to do. Wait a minute. The word says right here. This is what the word says. For example, let me story y'all a little bit. Look what the Bible says in Matthew. Y'all know where I'm going. But we're going. Matthew 5. So why do you keep reading that verse? Like you read it at least 39 times a month. But listen to what it says here. In Matthew 5, verse 44, or verse 33 first, 43 first. Matthew 5, verse 43. The Bible says, you have heard that it hath been said, as I preach, I'm tired of this verse. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I know y'all start shouting in, whoa, glory, preacher, preach. Hold on. But I say unto you, love. Ooh, your enemy. Okay, who was that flashing your mind just right now? He said, love your enemies. And then he says this, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's the word. Now here's the key. Do you believe it? I believe what it says. But are you going to add faith to this word so it can work in your life? Oh, now you're asking for something else. That's a little different. I mean, I know what it says, but now you want me to believe this and apply all this together so it can work. Yes. Yes. I mean, listen, some of you guys made food to eat after worship service today. And you put certain ingredients in there. For example, if you make that stuff that April makes, that... I don't know the name of just cream cheese goodies. Amen. But you know, you got to take a crescent. You got to buy some crescent rolls. And you lay them crescent rolls out a certain way. And then you put some, is it butter before that? I can't remember. But I know there's butter that's got to be added to that. I think she adds cinnamon to that as well. And some sugar to that, you know. And you say, whoa, that's going to be good. And go ahead and cook it. But you're missing something mainly important to me. Ooh, cream cheese. But now you add that cream cheese in there and you let that stuff get the way it needs to get. When you start, you don't take a chunk. Don't do that. Savor it. You take off a little piece at a time and just eat it, this little piece at a time. And let it melt in your mouth. Let it work. Enjoy it. Yes. Listen. But you got to add the right ingredients for the work. Because if not, it's not going to be the same. And my dear friends, we hear the word of God, but it will not benefit us. It will not assist us. It won't be useful to us if we don't add it with faith. That leads me to the last point. Flip back over to Hebrews chapter 4. Here's the reason why it did not work. The Bible says in verse number 2 again, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. It didn't work for them. It wasn't useful to them. It didn't assist them. It didn't benefit them. Not being mixed, combined, united, mixed together with faith in them that heard it. They heard this word, but they didn't mix it with faith. You got your Bible? You said, man, I got it. Okay, great. But now, are you going to believe it? Are you going to add faith to what it says? In other words, don't do like this. Go with me to James chapter number 1 and verse number 22 or 21. But go over there to James. Listen to what it says here in James chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says this, but, James 1, verse 22, but be ye what? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The word doer means a performer. You're carrying it out. I hear what it says. Am I asking you to do it because I believe it? Watch what he goes on to say. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That word glass means a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, he sees himself, and goeth his way, the Bible says, and straightway, immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. He looks into the mirror. He sees, well, not me anyway, his hair is jacked up, amen, and does nothing about it, but walks away. Comes to church. You say, man, your hair all messed up. You're like, oh, yeah, I saw it this morning. Everybody like, are you going to do anything about it? Ah, it's fine. You know, I know what I should do, you know. Or let's go a little bit deeper. You look and you see that you need to put on some deodorant. Yeah, I don't understand that. But you know you should, you know you need to, but you don't do it. And then you wonder when you come into a room, everybody disperses. Where everybody goes? Like, oh, here they come. Here they come. Because you don't have any deodorant. Listen, my dear friends. He says, let's not only be hearers, but be doers. And we're doing it because we believe it. We're adding faith to the precious word of God. I was thinking this morning, and some scriptures crossed my mind. Now I'm thinking about Ephesians, where the Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is what? The word of God. But now let's slow this down. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Now, the sword is the word of God. But notice, it's the word of God or the sword of the Spirit. It's what the Spirit uses to help us, my friends, to fight against the enemy. The whole thing, and I almost preached on this morning about the Holy Spirit being our helper. But you and I, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that enables us to be able to do, my friends, what needs to be done. But that's why it's so important to submit ourselves, to yield to the Spirit of God. But oftentimes it's hard to yield. I mean, come on a minute, Brett. I mean, we're talking about yielding. I mean, to yield means to, it means to surrender. For example, let's say, what's your name again, buddy? Julius, just stand for a minute, Julius. You don't have to come out, just stand for a minute. Now, me bigger than he was last time. Yeah. Now, he's got an alt with Julius. He got a problem with Julius. And the Lord said, listen, bless him, love him, pray for him. And the Holy Spirit said, surrender to me, okay? And what I want you to, would you put your hand out, Julius? And I want you to shake Julius' hand. But now, let's say he's not submitting to me. I'm like, the Holy Spirit, like, go ahead, shake his hand. Shake his hand. Shake his hand. Look at that. Look at that. But he said, I ain't going to do it. He's resisting. Now, all of a sudden, because he's resisting, you put your hand down now, he's resisting. And then he goes, he prays. And he says, oh, Lord. Oh, bless me with this. Oh, God, I need this. Oh, I need that. I need that. I need that. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to shake Julia's hand. Oh, but God, I need to have. He said, you need to shake Julia's hand. But Lord, I tell you, I mean, God, you've been good to me. He said, shake Julia's hand. Well, you know what? Until he shakes Julia's hand, he gets up and says, hey, Julius. And he shakes Julia's hand. He's being now obedient. He is also applying the word of God that he has read, and he knows it's going to work. See, now some of us don't want to do it. Not us here, but other Christians. Don't want to do it because they know what God's going to do. Y'all have to see. Remember Jonah? God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Where's Nineveh at, God? That way. Okay. He goes the other way. Finally, he gets thrown out there, and go to know the whole story. He goes thrown up in the sea. The fish comes up and swallows him up. He's in there for 3 days, and he tells the story like he's about to die. He's getting choked and all this kind of stuff. Then finally, after 3 days, he finally cries out to God. The fish vomits him up, okay, and then he gets to clean up a little bit, and then God says, go to Nineveh. He goes to Nineveh. Oh, Nineveh this way. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches, and they repent. And then Jonah says, what? I knew it. He knew it. God knew you was going to do that. That's why I'm going to preach to them. I don't like them people. I didn't want them people to get right. I didn't want their lives to be spared. And I knew if I preached and they would hear it, they would change. I want them to suffer. Now, I mean, we don't think that way, you know. We want God to go by and wear them out. God said, pray for blessings on them. But Lord, do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they said? Do you know how they looked at me? And you want me to do what? Pray for blessings? Lord, if I pray for blessings, you're going to bless them. You ain't going to blister them. You're going to bless them. God said, pray for them. What happened with Job? With all that stuff, then God told those three friends, go get Job to pray for you. And then the Bible says, when Job prayed for his friends, everything turned. When he prayed, not before he prayed. Now, some of us might be in that area today, my dear friends. God said, pray for those friends we've been talking about. Pray for those friends who have been accusing you. Not rightly either. Pray for them. I ain't going to pray for them, Lord. But when he prayed, everything turned around. And like one preacher said, he got double for his trouble. Listen, my dear friends, when he applied that word, believe the word. Let me give you this. Look at Deuteronomy. We're about done. Look at Deuteronomy, chapter number 9, verse 23. Deuteronomy 9, verse 23. Listen, it's not just good enough to hear the word, but we've got to add faith to the word for that word to be beneficial to us. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. Look what the Bible says here in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse number 23. The Bible says, God's word says, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you. Then the Bible says, ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. You disobeyed and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. God told them to go up and take the land. And the Bible tells us in Numbers, when they got there, they said, man, them giants over there, we like grasshoppers in their sight. God says, go take it. But Lord, we ain't going to be, so you don't believe me then. Well, I ain't saying I don't believe him. I'm just saying we ain't going to be able to take them. What are you saying then? You're saying you don't believe his word. He says in this verse, my friends, that they rebelled against his commandment. And the Bible says that they believed not nor hearkened. They didn't pay attention, listen to what he said. Let me give you the scripture so you know what I'm talking about. Look over to Numbers 13. Go to Numbers 13. Look what it says here, Numbers 13. I don't know about y'all, but man, I want some victories. So that means we're going to have to trust God's word. We've got to believe his word. It's got to be mixed in there with faith. Believe his word. Look what it says in Numbers 13. Let's drop down to verse number 30. The Bible says this in verse number 30. The Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the Bible says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land where they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying this, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it, oh my soul, he says, they are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own, watch it guys, watch it. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Because we've seen ourselves as grasshoppers, that's how they saw us. And they did not go up. They was right there at Canaan. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? Some of us might be right at the very brink of our spiritual Canaan, about to step over, but we see, oh no, we're not going to be able to do that. There's too many big giants over there. God says, no, make that step over. Don't cross over, because you're going to win. Just going to cross over. Well, God, I know what you're saying, but I'm going by what I'm seeing. Let me say it again. I heard what you're saying, but I'm going by what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is really overwhelming me, bigger than what you're saying. But if we believe what he is saying, then we'll make that step. They spent another how many years? Somebody tell me. 40 years in the wilderness. Some people are still in the wilderness and don't need to be in the wilderness if we just simply follow God's instructions and believe what he has said for us to do. Do it. Do it. Don't let the enemy continuously cause us to be afraid and be fearful and just walking around like, Lord, what we gonna stop. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the Spirit of God that will help us, my friends. And the Spirit of God will take the sword, my friends, the Word of God, and slay those giants that we face in our life. We've got to mix faith with the Word for the work. Let me go back over to Hebrews. We're done. Hebrews 4. The Bible says in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed, combined, united with faith in them that heard it. I got two questions. My first question is this. Are we missing the main ingredient? Are we missing the main ingredient? The second question is this. Do we need to ask the Lord to help us to add this ingredient? Do we need to ask the Lord to help us to add this ingredient? And my last one is a simple verse. Drop down to verse 16, and the Bible says this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He has given us permission to come with confidence to the throne of grace to receive what we need to receive at this time of need. The question is this, will we come? Because he said we can come. And just be honest. Wherever you are in your spiritual walk and your mindset, wherever you are, come before God and be simply honest. And maybe even ask the Lord to guide you as you talk to him, saying, Lord, please help me to add faith to the word so it can be beneficial in my life. God wants us to be victorious. He wants us to believe what he says and to act upon it. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I've tried my best to give out what you gave to me to deliver. And this was to me too. The message was to me too. So I pray and ask God that we have received the word and will believe what you have said to us about this portion or whatever other portions that you might be speaking to us about today. I pray, God, we'd not be afraid to come to your throne and talk to you about the issues that are dealing with our hearts. Help us to be honest and real. Help us to leave the day with strength and courage and victory. God, help us, Lord, to be victorious through Jesus Christ. God, we need you. And perhaps there's got somebody here today, Father, who just realized that they don't know if they're going to heaven when they die, but they sure do want to know. Ooh, Father, I pray they come and let me know today. And Father, it will be our privilege to show them from the word how to trust Christ as their Savior. Father, we've heard the songs. We have heard the sermon. And now it is time to respond. For it's your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. May we come.